All right. Getting better. We actually remember that time. Okay. I will call the meeting to order at 5:32 Pacific time. We will take roll. I am Dave Pawson, and I am present. Kim Laird.
Present.
Aaron Stevens is not going to be present tonight, I believe. Yep. Okay. Lloyd Timberlake.
Present.
Nathan Wakefield.
Present.
Tom Wall.
Present.
Scott Krause.
Present.
Sandy Brown.
Here.
Mike Sullivan. Okay. Hopefully he'll be joining us. Martin Frost. He may join us as well. And I know there were at least a couple other people that were thinking of dialing in just because they were curious what we were going to be discussing. Is there anyone else on the phone with us? Okay. All right. We need to approve the agenda. It was getting tidied up until a few minutes before the meeting started, so if anyone needs a minute to scan down and take a look, that's fine. But if anyone is ready to move to approve it, then feel free.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Kim.
Would anyone
like to? And that was Lloyd?
That was Lloyd.
Thank you. All right. Is there anything we need to discuss? Okay. We'll move on to vote. Does anyone disapprove of the agenda? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. It is approved unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Approval of past minutes. We don't need to keep everybody busy. Kim, you and I should talk later to figure out what the deal is with the two meetings that were recorded in Winston-Salem, because I thought by now you told me you delivered those to Sandy, but she doesn't have them, so we can talk about that later.
Yeah, actually, I thought that Steve Ron had told me he was sending her a copy and that I would also have a copy,
gotcha.
But I'll throw them in the mail tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thank you. The August planning meeting, Sandy, you know the deal with that now, and you have access to the audio for that one, correct?
Yeah, there were two meetings in August, were there not? One
That's
August
correct.
1st?
Correct. There was a planning meeting at the beginning and then our regular board meeting later in the month.
Right, on the 29th. Got it.
Yes, and that one is all notes taken, approved, posted on the website. So it's just
yeah.
The planning.
Okay, cool. And did you, Dave, do the September minutes? Because they're also finished. Did you do them? Because... Yeah.
So, yeah, we can talk about that. So, basically, the way this is going now, the agenda is online, and as motions are made and so on, I'm updating them. So I don't know. There's probably less for you to do.
Okay. Would you like me to go ahead and add any discussion and listen to it, or is that complete?
That's really about the only thing that I think – is left to be done, is kind of filling
okay.
in any detail that comes from discussion. But all the nuts and bolts of who made motions and seconded it and the results of votes and all, I think
okay,
great
so
stuff
I'll,
to go.
I'll do that this week and make sure I get that out to you.
Okay. So it looked to me like the September minutes were just exactly what I had updated during the course of the meeting, correct?
Yeah, it was bare bones, but, I think that was correct. So what I sent along to the board this afternoon, you know, isn't quite thorough enough, and I'll
right.
fill that in.
Okay, so I don't know the parliamentary way to do this. My suggestion would be that we table approval of those minutes until the notes get filled in.
Okay, sure.
Kim, do you know if there's a proper way to do this?
That's pretty much the proper way, yeah, just
okay.
table until they're finished.
Okay. Would anyone like to make that motion?
I'll make it.
Make that motion.
And was that Scott? It's hard to hear when there's lots of people.
That was Scott. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was Lloyd as well. I just say this because Dave claimed he could recognize my voice. I was trying to make it easy.
Okay. And would someone like to second that?
I'll second.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion before we vote on it? Does anyone disapprove of tabling these minutes for now? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, that's also approved unanimously. Thanks. But it does seem like we're starting to catch up on our minutes a bit, and that's a good thing. Okay, so we can move on to reports. The first report we had was Kim's festival planning report, which came in plenty ahead of time, so hopefully people got to read that. If so, it's up for discussion. Yeah. Anyone have anything they want to ask him or comment on the...
Yeah, I really don't have much to add to what I already had written, so I welcome any questions or comments. I will say this much, I am working right now a lot on sponsorships,
mm-hmm.
Both corporate and small business, as well as individual. And I think I put in my report that we're doing something similar to what the town does for the Black Swamp Arts Festival. A window decal is being designed for the IJA and will appear in the windows of those businesses who are offering what we're calling juggle-friendly zones, which would be special discounts to jugglers. They are also supporting different events of the IJA, like either sending over snacks or things like that throughout the week.
Kim, can I ask you a question on that?
Yes.
I think it's important, but I'm not sure. It says in your report that I will also be working with Caitlin and Wendy to start sponsorship push with local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy asked if they could lead that initiative since she approaches businesses all year long. Does it mean Wendy asked if we, i.e. the IJA, could lead that initiative?
No.
Or does it
mean they're going to do it? Wendy would like to approach the businesses for us.
Wonderful.
And have her and Caitlin go face to face with business owners with the promotional sponsorship packet that I'm putting together. And this way, they're not doubling up on their efforts, and they're not, I think, as I put in there, not going to the well too many times. They regularly, I shouldn't say they, Wendy regularly approaches area businesses for sponsorships and promotions of different visitor bureau events that are going on. So she doesn't want them to think that they're being hit up once again. She knows which ones would be more likely to give to an organization like ours.
Okay, that's great. I was afraid that she didn't want to go back to the well, so she was wanting us to do it. But that,
no.
What you described makes sense, and it's better for us.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I wanted to say is just I think it's great that it seems like you're putting a lot of energy into kind of
Mike Sullivan.
Hey, Mike. Into working with the community to get them more involved, both in leveraging the work and in creative ways to fund this. So thank you. I think that's awesome.
You're welcome.
Do you have any updates on the quest for a headline act, or is that still in limbo, waiting to hear back?
I won't hear back from Florian until sometime this month, he told me. So I did put in a second email reminding him, of our offer and that I'm looking forward to hearing back from him. So as soon as I hear from him, one way or the other, I'll let the board know. And Keith Nelson just contacted me the other day and said that he would have a lineup of performers together for next month's meeting. That's his goal.
Cool. This is probably as good a place as any. I saw Matt in Portland, and he reminded me the other good name to run by you and or Keith is Eric Bates.
Right,
because
okay.
He's another guy who is at least often in North America and is incredible and has expressed interest in performing at our fest in the past. It's just tough to pin down his time.
Okay. making a note of that so I can talk to Keith about it.
Yeah, because I kept thinking of him and forgetting him until Matt mentioned it again. So.
Yeah, actually, a lot of the fest planning at this point, actually, I was just talking with Sandy a little bit this afternoon, and I went through my checklist of everything that has to be done for the fest, and right now I would say I'm a little over halfway through everything that needs to be done on the to-do list, which for it being only October, I'm thrilled about that.
Cool. I had another question that was peripherally related. Does anyone else have any more questions about what's actually in the report?
I don't have one. I guess I've got something that's kind of related to what's on the report. Kim, in your thing, you said that you were going to update that, it's that error on the backside of the cards.
Yep.
Does that mean that we would also maybe have the opportunity to include the names of some special guests that are coming? Because now that we have, you're saying that we have Brigatz and Jay Gilligan lined up. If we have something signed from them, it might make sense to throw those names on there too.
Right, and that's what I tried to tell you in our emails back and forth, is that's why I didn't want to print up a whole slew at one time, and as we get more information, kind of add it in. So, yes, I mean, I have 600 cards sitting here yet, so I need to use those up. I have stickers to cover the mistake on the back. But, yeah, the next batch will definitely have updated information, you know, have names of performers and whatnot.
Anyone else have anything to ask about the October report? Okay, so my peripheral thing was, we have a report on the current fest and we have one on future fest, but we don't have a past fest one. Did we ever figure out what the final numbers were for Winston-Salem?
Holly has been working on those. I reminded her that there was a board meeting tonight and asked her if she was going to be able to have something for us. And did not hear back from her.
All right, so that's the current status. We think Holly's still working on trying to get that final number.
Yeah, let me see what her last... she did say something. I'm not able to find it, but I recall her... in one of her emails saying it looks like it may be close to break even with the final numbers, but I'm not finding where she actually wrote that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll probably hold off. We can hold off on that until we really get something solid from her. I'm glad to hear it's still moving and it didn't just fall through the cracks once it was in the past, so that's good.
No, we actually had to get out all of the on-site registration forms because of the problem with the register the first day, and she's still trying to reconcile all of that and make sure it all matches.
Okay.
But it does look like we're missing some of those on-site registration forms.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't know what happened to them, if they got packed away with something, but she's working on it. I will remind her. In fact, I just emailed her now that she needs to get that to us.
Thanks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Future festival planning. We got a lengthy report from Mr. Sullivan. I will confess I didn't get to read it line by line, but I at least made a skim through, and hopefully you guys were able to do the same. Did anyone have questions or comments for Mike on that?
I thought it was an excellent piece of work, and just to prove I read it, I think at one point he said west of the Mississippi, and Mike, you meant east of the Mississippi, but I'm just scoring points to show I read it.
Well, thank you, Lloyd. Appreciate that.
I thought it was a very wonderful piece of work.
So the one.
Thank you. I hope it was persuasive as well.
So the one interesting thing that popped out at me, and it didn't necessarily seem damning but worth discussion, is the comparatively high administrative fee that ends up getting tacked on by Purdue. And it sounded like your thinking was that though it's more, it's comparable to – it's in concept the same as the 5% one at Bowling Green, and so we'd end up finding ways to pass that on to registrants. Is that what you
were thinking? I knew it was going to be a concern, and so I talked to our contact, Susan, there about it twice yesterday and today again. It is a big line item. And, you know, every university does it differently, as we found every city does it differently, depending on where we're going each year.
Right.
The way BGSU does it is they charge 5% on top of everything that you buy from them. The way Purdue does it is they say, if you're going to have us run your registration, which they insist upon if people are going to be staying in their dorms and eating in their food plan. When we register that person, we have costs for administering the registration system, for doing the registration, collecting the credit card payment, doing the customer service, assigning them the room, all of that kind of stuff. And our fee for that is $26 per attendee. Now, what I talked to Susan about is I said, well, we can accept that, but I just want to make sure that we're not going to be nickeled and dimed for 1,000 other things once we're on site. And she assured me that we would not. So we would not find that our bill is going to be stuffed with charges for chairs in the gym or staging,
right,
or a riser stage or vendor tables or electrical outlets or internet drops or things like that. So I think it's reasonable. Remember that it is only charged to those folks who are going to be registering for on-site lodging and dining.
Right.
And it is per person. So if someone doesn't stay on campus and doesn't buy a meal plan, they won't be subject to that fee.
And the fee comes in if they do either one of those things, food or lodging?
Well, yes. If Purdue registers a person, they charge the fee.
Okay.
And I think we want them to do our registration. They insist upon doing the registration for people staying on campus and buying a meal plan for obvious reasons. They need to know who to put in what rooms and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And since our registration system right now is very archaic and, you know, unless and until we move to an AMS, won't get any better, I would rather IJA contemplate having Purdue do it all for us, collect the $26, and relieve us of a whole lot of work, plus make things move a lot more smoothly once we're on campus.
So here's the question I was trying to ask for. So if we were to just say, well, if we pick Purdue, this is a cost of doing business at Purdue, and it's one we want to pass on to attendees. If we were to decide that, is there any practical way to do that?
Yes. Yeah, we could do like we're doing with BGSU, which is just to mark up the room rates a couple dollars a day. Or we can simply say there's a $25 per person registration fee, and it's non-negotiable. It's charged by the university for the services they're going to render in putting you up at their institution, issuing you a key, taking your registration, doing all that kind of stuff. And when you spread it across 4 or 5 days, it's $5 a day.
Well, right.
So
I think if we just say, oh, by the way, we're charging you this much to get in and then $25 because Purdue says so, it's not in practice any different, but I think it probably doesn't sit well with people. Whereas if we bundled it into the room rate, it might just go by the by, but I think there's a difference, and between you and Kim, you can tell me if I'm wrong, in that
the other way to do it, Dave, is to simply build that cost, and we can estimate how many people we think are going to stay on campus. If it's only 300, then it's 300 times $26. So,
is at Bowling Green, isn't it the case that people pay us for their dorm room and then we pay Bowling Green?
That's correct.
Okay.
They also
pay Purdue directly?
In the case of Purdue, they're going to take the registration and collect the registration on our behalf up front. And what that does is it relieves us of any obligation to pay a deposit or give Purdue any funds. Purdue can cut us checks for cash flow purposes for our expenses prior to the fest. And then once the fest is over, we settle everything up and they send us a check for the difference between what they collected on our behalf and what we owe them.
Right. The logistics I was trying to sort through is if Purdue thinks that a room costs $26 a night, but we want to charge people $31 a night, and they go directly to Purdue to get the room,
mm-hmm.
can we tell Purdue you should be charging $31 a night?
Well, the other way I would go at it, which I think is easier for everyone, is to build this fee into the cost of a package for the week for our attendees. So let's say what's our early registration price right now, $149 or $179?
Well, the earliest price for an adult package is going to be $169.
Okay. So we say it's $169 for an early registration, and we take out of that money that we collect, which goes to IJA, the $26. So Purdue would register a person and say, okay, how many nights are you staying, at what rate? And they charge all those rates that are listed in the report, and they charge them for the meal plan and all that stuff. And then they charge them for the IJA festival package. And that all goes on one charge when they register with Purdue. And the festival package fee includes what we're going to need to charge to cover the Purdue admin fee. In the whole big scheme of things, when you look at how much money Purdue is going to collect for all the lodging and all the meals, the $13,000, if it was 500 people, is really not a big percentage. It's just a big number when you look at the little line item breakdown that I put on our report, because we are not on the hook for Purdue for any of the rooms or meals. The rooms and meals are going to be tens of thousands of dollars, but we're not paying any of those. Those are paid all by the attendees.
Right. My point earlier was, I think if we tell people your hotel room is $31, they probably won't blink. If we tell people, you all know that registration is $200, but this year it's $226, it will cost them the exact same amount of money, and they will be pissed off.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly see that, and I think that might be one way to go. I knew this was going to be a topic of conversation because it's different than what we are used to, and it's even different from the way BGSU does it.
Right.
But I don't want it to detract from the overall appeal of what I think is a excellent opportunity that we have at Purdue, and I would urge the board to try and come to a decision tonight on this if we can, and then we can talk about the logistics of how to budget for all of this and collect various fees when the time comes.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it's a deal breaker because on the whole it looks like a pretty attractive proposition. I think this is an issue we would end up having to manage because I don't think we want to eat it, and we'll have to be careful how we pass it on. So it's not here.
I agree.
Mike, I have a question about if they are receiving all of the registration money. All right. How often will they send us our registration fees, so the IJA fees? when would we be able to get money, or do we have to specially request it, or?
We can set all that up with them. Typically, they would send the organizations a check every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And, you know, if we open registrations in January and start getting people registered, having them send us a check even every month for the first few months would be fine for our cash flow needs. So I don't think that's a problem. And you've got to remember, as I mentioned in the report a couple times, Purdue hosts hundreds and hundreds of groups, some of them with 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 attendees. And they handle all of this stuff for those groups year after year after year. So they've really got this down, and they have a pretty sizable staff in the conferences department that does nothing but work with outside groups.
Okay. Did anybody else have questions or comments for Mike on this report?
One thing that I guess stood out to me is that it says in there that there's no camping that's really nearby. And I'm just curious, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see whether or not that would be an issue, seeing how this year's festival goes, since we will have on-site camping. So that's just something that I noticed.
Yep.
I'm curious to see what happens with.
Yeah, I think.
Well, there is no camping on the Purdue campus, period. And the nearest public campground is a commercial campground about 5 miles away.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's a bit of a trek. I'm just curious.
Mike, question about the on-campus dining.
Yes.
You have in here that it's $24.53 per person per day. Are the meals not split up like at BGSU? You can't buy like 3 breakfasts, 4 lunches, 2 dinners. It's just one. It's per day. Is that correct?
No, they can accommodate us for the people who come in late, leave early, et cetera. That figure was what they quote people for a daily figure to eat on campus. And I would imagine it's along the $6, $7, $8 progression like BGSU, and that price that I listed does include all taxes and state and local taxes and so on. So we'll break it down when the time comes into individual meals, and that's another thing the registrars can do for us. They're used to people coming in for complete days. They can easily, and remember, if someone says, hey, I might not even get there until dinner time on the first day, well, then maybe they'd be better off buying their first dinner on campus cash at the food court or at the dining hall, which they can do, and then just go for the full days of meals, for the full days that they'll be there to use them.
Okay. Did anyone have other questions? Okay. Let's keep moving then. Thank you, Mike. I had submitted a vendor discount program report. Is simpler and shorter than Mike's. Did people have questions about that?
It looks good to me.
Okay.
I'm glad that you've got some more people along the way that you're still talking to. So.
Yeah, I think it really is ready to go at this point. I just need to find a couple minutes to think straight and do it carefully so I don't botch it up when I actually put it live on the site. So.
Dave, I do have a related question.
Sure.
Since you're in touch with the vendors,
uh-huh.
I would love to know if any of them are interested or willing to take some of the fest cards and maybe when they're sending out.
Oh, right. You had asked that.
Yeah,
let me ping them. It's at least the ones who are participating in our program and maybe others.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll take an action to do that.
And then if you just give me their name and address, I'll ship out a stack of cards to them.
Okay. Yeah, I did see that go by at some point, and then I saw something shining and got distracted. And
that's okay. Happens.
If there aren't any other questions on my report, we can move on. Scott had uploaded all the job descriptions we've gotten. Thank you for doing that, Scott.
Sure. Just so you know, those are the job descriptions that Tom forwarded on to me. I don't know if there were any more that came in.
There's one more, one that Kim sent. I just uploaded that to the Google Drive account tonight, actually. So.
Okay. And I think there's, I know I owe you one, I believe. It also looked like some of the list you were, kind of the checklist you were going by was probably out of date because you were looking for things like the Canadian rep that in an earlier meeting we decided we don't even have anymore. So maybe closer than you think even.
Oh, yay. There were three that I don't know. I didn't receive any descriptions for. And I don't remember if they were ones that we had or ones that had passed on to someone else and didn't get assigned. Communications director. I know that Martin Frost is listed as that on the website, and that there's we need to have a communications director to report for someone else. Is Martin still doing that?
The communications director?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get a description for that. DVD distributor, Robby Deadwheeler, either. Are we even doing DVD distribution right now?
Yes. That is Detweiler, is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Detweiler?
Rob Detweiler.
Okay, and store manager. Martin is listed on the website as the store manager. Is he still doing that?
Yeah, I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those three we need descriptions for.
Okay.
Just a quick question. Tom, the one that you uploaded, was that the CES director one?
One that you sent me, yeah. That is correct.
Okay. And, Dave, did you receive the board chairman one?
I did receive it, and I didn't yet get to go over it. But
no
on top of that, I'm supposed to come up with one for just a board member. So.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you got it. That's all.
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
Okay.
There were some questions that went along with the job descriptions as well. If there's no questions about the job, no more questions about the job description, I'd like to run some things by everybody.
Sure, go for it.
Okay. The chief teller said, the chief teller's description said that they report to the chairperson, not the board. I think we should change that to be spelled out as reporting to the board of directors. Not the chairperson. It seems like it could be a conflict of interest.
I am by no means drunk with power. I don't need to report to me. I don't know if Kim knows any history of why it is the way it is now.
No, I don't. And in the past, it's pretty much been they've reported to the board, because even if a report came to the chair, when I was chair, I would pass it on to the rest of the board as well.
Yeah, I'd agree. That seems to make more sense.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other places where people said that they were, or the descriptions say they were reporting to the chair. So I'll go ahead and change those to reporting to the board of directors, similar to most of the other ones.
Yep.
They
can report through anybody, but it's to the board, right?
I think so. Makes sense to me.
Okay. For standardization, the mentorship program has a mentorship program liaison, while YES has a coordinator. There's two possibilities that I think we can do with that to standardize. Either have two different positions, one is liaison, which is a board position, and one is coordinator, which is a volunteer position. Could be done by both people. Or have a single position, either liaison or coordinator, that anybody can fill and not have the second position.
Uh, Yeah, I mean, it's wordsmithing, so I don't know if it makes a huge difference, but I guess in my mind, when I've been typing things, I always figure a liaison is sort of somebody on the board that one of the other officers can talk to if they need to interact with the board. But that's just me. I don't know if anyone else thinks that when they hear that term. So,
yeah, my suggestion would be to have two different positions and then have them possibly assigned to one person if one person wants to take them both.
Well, so, for example, if one of them was like the mentorship program, I don't know if the mentorship program especially needs like a liaison to the board, because I don't know that the board has really in-depth interactions with the mentorship program leader, whereas like I think the e-juggle person is listed as a liaison because there are plenty of times where Scott Seltzer is doing his best to do his job independently and he gets to a point where he says, I don't think I can do this without the board saying it's okay. And then he comes to me, not because I'm the chair, but because I'm the liaison. and I either say, yeah, that's fine, or I ask the board, and the board says, yeah, that's fine. So I think there are probably some positions that need a liaison and others that really just don't. But again, that's my thinking. You all might disagree. It sounds like people violently disagree.
I mean, that seems fine to me. It makes sense.
Yeah, I think we're too informal to have formal liaison positions.
Okay.
Yep, I think the only reason I know I have that with Scott on eJuggle is because he's often looking for stuff in a really timely manner. Like he has an article somebody got and he wants to publish it, but he's worried that we'll be offended.
Yeah.
And so I promise him I will try to answer you quickly when you have questions like that. But in general, I don't think we do a lot of that.
Right.
Okay, then I'll make the mentorship program person a coordinator.
Yep.
And we'll see a liaison is something that the board can take up as needed for certain programs.
Yep. I think that's probably reasonable.
Okay. Several of the descriptions have self-motivated and support the vision and mission of the IJA as two requirements. And I just want to run it by everybody, but I think we should add them to all the descriptions across the board.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We should either do that or we should have sort of a blanket statement that's true for any officer. And I don't really care a lot which. The programmer in me says to abstract it out and have it in one place, but if you want to duplicate it into all of them, that's fine with me because you're the one doing the work.
Yeah, it'd be easy to duplicate it into all of them. It's just copy-paste. You have no problem there. Okay. I believe this suggestion came in on the volunteer coordinator sheet. Should we have a team of volunteer coordinators rather than a single volunteer coordinator? I'm not aware who sent that sheet in, but whoever made the suggestion, bringing it up here for you. Should there be more than one volunteer coordinator, and if so, how do we manage that? It seems to me that if we're looking for volunteers, we kind of know where to go. So my first thought is we might not need a volunteer coordinator, or we might not need a team.
I think it's one of the most important positions we could have, and we don't have one.
I agree with that.
Because I think there's plenty of work we need done where we all just kind of say, yeah, it'd be good if somebody could do that, but we're all too busy. And I think we need somebody who's basically just an evangelist who doesn't need to do the work, but they do need to beat the bushes and find people to help do it. Now, if that person, I'll be happy to get one volunteer coordinator before I worry about having a whole team of them. I guess I always kind of figured if the volunteer coordinator wants to recruit volunteers to help him find other volunteers, well, more power to him or her. I don't know if we need to really be concerned with that, but but I definitely think we would benefit greatly by having somebody who puts their energy in that direction. It would be very well leveraged.
Yeah.
And I actually have had somebody in mind for a while and haven't, and I think they're going to say no, but I haven't had the tactful way to bring it up and try to massage them into doing it.
I guess if we can find one person who's really good, then we can suggest plans on how to get a team together and, you know, how to organize a team. So maybe the team idea isn't necessary to be a formal setup.
That's kind of what I think, yeah. But that's my opinion.
All right. Okay. A couple of descriptions that I'm not really sure of. Festival registrar is someone who is reported to by the membership director. And I'm not exactly sure what that position is or who holds it, if anybody.
I think the answer is they're usually the same person, right? Aren't they both usually Marilyn?
Well, that's for pre-registration. That's the pre-fest registrar. We actually have two. The on-site registrar has been Jerry Martin and will be again this year.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a festival volunteer position, though, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's why it had fallen off some of our discussions, because it only lived through the duration of the festival.
Yeah.
Are we going to try and collect descriptions of the volunteer positions that only exist at the festival?
I think we'd sort of decided that wasn't quite as important. I mean, I think there's value in it, but.
And what I can do is as I'm working through the festival this year, I can put together descriptions with those who are fulfilling those jobs.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, if you do that and send them over to me, I can put them on the list.
Yep. I mean, it won't get done until closer to the fest, but at least we'll have them.
Okay. The other two that I had were YEP liaison and communications director, and we covered both of those already. So no problem there.
Okay.
One of the notes that came in was a note about the reliability and usability of the roster system. Basically, the roster system was thrown together and needs to be massaged every time it runs in order to get the roster to come up nicely. And if Greg ever decides to stop using it or stop being our roster wrangler, we're going to have a problem replacing someone or replacing him with someone who has the skills to do so, or we're going to need a new system. So I just want everybody to be aware that is something that we might need to think about in the future.
Yeah, I think the presumption is that as we come up with our next answer for our back-end user management system, that it will help with that problem.
We've taken Greg off being affiliates director and being Canadian director, so he can focus on the roster. And I talked to him, and he seems to like doing that.
Okay.
All right. Next one is about the bookkeeper contracts with Holly Greeley.
Yep.
Okay, so the bookkeeper contract is up. Well, it was a one-year contract that was up in October or the end of October in 2011. And it is October again in 2012. The contract, I believe, was not changed and has just continued on. So we're in October, so now would be a good time to renegotiate if we were going to do so.
Yeah.
I think that it might be worthwhile to think about, because she wasn't at the festival this past year, which was part of the contract for 2011. And if she's not going to be able to attend in 2012, we might need to think about talking about a different price.
And Scott, just so you know some past history there, last year Holly agreed to stay on under the old contract, so that's why it didn't change.
Okay.
I agree. It does need to be revamped. The job description there has changed over the last, say, 2 years, maybe even three. So, yeah, does have to be revisited.
Yep.
I'll talk to Holly since I want to make sure that the board gets to approve any contracts and possible contract negotiations that happen. So I'll ask her if we can extend it on a month-by-month basis until the board gets a review of any possible contracts. Otherwise, I'll give a report in November about any sort of updates on that. Okay, and the final thing about these, the webmaster, the marketing director, and the e-juggle editor, I'm not sure how close the communication is between the three, but there's a note out from the webmaster that he's not responsible for the social media or the e-zine and would like to be kept abreast of any changes that are made to those systems. So I just want to make sure that everybody's that those three are talking to each other.
Yeah, Scott and David talk to each other all the time.
Okay. And that is all I have for the job descriptions.
Okay. All right. So unless anyone else has anything urgent there, we should probably move on. We're definitely running behind tonight. So I'm going to kind of hustle us through, which doesn't mean not to ask if you have something important to say, but otherwise I'm going to try to speed us up a little bit. Scott had also included a note on a membership drive. The big thing I noted there is that Scott also started a thread on the boards to discuss different avenues we might go about reaching new members, and mostly I would encourage people to participate in that thread, because I think that's an interesting discussion to have.
As another note, I started talking to people in the community who are into community organizing and event planning, and they're giving me some good feedback on how to go about both short-term and long-term membership improvements. So I am taking steps in that.
Cool.
In the PR plan that I put online, there's a small section of, I think, three different potential target audiences. So I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at that. That might be a good thing to look at. But I'd be happy to dissect ways to approach the different markets that you're proposing. I think that'd be fun.
Okay.
And also along the same line, but also fest related, not to move back, but it does have to do with this discussion as well. I had a great conversation with Amy from AICO, which is American Youth Circus Organization, and their members age out at age 21. And she thought that a collaboration, a reciprocation of membership for their members would be great, because it would also make them interested in the IJA. And then she thought that when their members age out at age 21, they would actually want to become IJA members. So we could actually feed into each other's programs. So just to throw that out there.
Okay. Cool. Okay, any other comments on Scott's membership ideas, or should we keep moving for now? Okay. All right, Aaron had not much new to report on the education front, so we have no report there. Aaron did submit an IRC report. Hopefully you all got to read that. She's not here to answer questions. So unless anyone has anything particularly pressing that they want to discuss amongst ourselves, we'll move on.
I just like to say your stuff sounds awesome and exciting, and
yeah,
and it's going so well.
For sure.
You're so serious.
Okay. Website, we don't have a report because we're blocked waiting on Iwi's input. Kim, have we had any more luck reaching Iwi on the various things we need to talk to him about?
I am just sending, Jet Kelly has connection with Ely as well.
Right.
So I just sent him an email, and the agenda was actually a reminder, and told him we need to get an answer on this. He's kind of skirted the issue with me. I have heard from Ely since we last had a board meeting, but he did not indicate anything about the website, even though I asked him specifically in two previous emails and the last one. So I've just asked Jack if he could make connection with Ely and please get an answer from him.
Okay. While we're on the Ely subject, did we get any closer to where you can get me into that loop so I can help with these issues?
Yep. I sent him your email. He felt more comfortable with me sending him your email.
Okay.
And said he would contact you when the time was right.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. So presumably at some point I will hear. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what we got for the website. Marketing. I don't think Tom submitted a marketing report. Do you have anything in particular to share with us now?
Well, you're correct that I did not submit anything. It's been kind of late. Recently, I got the those photo booklets printed up, the iHeart IJ ones. Took a bunch of pictures of those or using those at Portland. I'm waiting until we have some coming back from Aaron from South America and a few from the St. Louis Festival. So when we start putting them online, there's a variety of things from multiple events, so it makes it look a little bit bigger. I'm waiting to hear back from one or two of the people that I took photos of to have like small biographical information. One of the ways that we're incentivizing people to have their photos of some of this stuff is saying that we'll include, you know, their YouTube link or a short thing about the area where they perform in and, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But that's really the big, big thing. But people that I've talked to, I mean, people, when they saw that I had the book at Portland, some people came up to me and asked if they could have their picture taken because they were excited about the prospect of being featured on our Facebook page. So that's pretty cool. And if you look at the statistics on our Facebook page right now, we're rapidly approaching 4,000 fans. I think at this time last year we maybe had like 1,200 or something. We have really expanded a lot in the past year, and a lot of that interest in Central and South America, and I think that's, you know, due mostly to the IRC, so I'm excited to see where that takes us in the future. That's it for me.
Yeah, your pictures from Portland came out well. Did we end up missing Pezzo?
Well, he agreed to do one, but only if it was him holding a kendama.
What a goofball. Okay.
Yeah, so I have a picture of him. We'll see what happens. But I'm definitely going to get Wes when he comes to St. Louis. And, you know, there are definitely still some rock stars out there.
Cool.
And I'll send the kendama picture around, see if you guys are interested in putting that up there. I'm not entirely sure that I want to have something so tongue-in-cheek when we're still establishing this as a project. So maybe I'll just sit on that for another couple of months, and then once we have momentum built up, I'll put it online.
Yep. Cool.
So that has some viral appeal too. So we could get some traction there. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else for Tom? All right. We got Marilyn's membership report. Not a whole lot to discuss, I would guess. It was interesting that, like, our number of registrants is up and our number of people is down. So we lost some families, it looks like. But all in all, it's pretty flat. It's relatively stable. So that was that. Usual deal with the financials from Holly. We did get our report from her on where our payments are going, but she's not here to answer questions. So if you have them, I would encourage you to send them directly to Holly. Unless anyone has anything else on that. We got a report from Warren Hammond on the Fund Committee. Anyone have anything they want to ask or discuss on that?
It looks pretty good to me.
Yep.
Looks very under control.
Yes, that's well put. That's what I like to hear.
How do I get Born Plus Google access? Because I'm not able to view it through my Google Drive.
Okay, the login for it is on the Board Plus message board, stickied at the top of it.
Okay, I'll find it then.
Okay. All right. That's all our reports, and that brings us to our motions. The first one in particular had better be really easy. We have a motion to approve the introduction of a new, earlier, cheaper pricing phase for the 2013 festival registration beginning on November 15, 2012. We had already informally discussed this so Kim could get the postcards printed up, but I wanted to get it into the record and do it properly, so hopefully we can do that tonight. Would someone like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Kim, thank you. Who would like to second that?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay. We'll move on to vote. Does anyone disapprove of this, the extra registration phase? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. That is passed unanimously. Thank you.
This is Sandy. Was that Lloyd who seconded it?
It was.
Okay, thanks, Lloyd.
Okay. Second motion, more interesting. It was a motion to approve the 2013 Bowling Green State University Festival budget that Kim presented us with. Would anyone like to make that motion?
I'll make it.
Thank you. And would anyone like to second it? I had Lloyd on the motion.
I'll second. This is Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Okay. So we are open for discussion. I didn't see a whole lot that surprised me. There was one little thing I wanted to clarify. Let me remind myself what it was. I think I expected the housing line item under expenses and the housing line item under income to match, and they don't quite. And I think I figured out that it's because the 5% fee falls under a different line item for the BGSU admin fee. Is that correct?
That is correct, yep.
Okay, thanks. I'd expressed to you before that it feels to me like the budget for Cascade of Stars and such is ambitious, but if you're still comfortable with it, then so be it.
Yeah, I know doing two shows for the price of less than one last year does seem ambitious, but as I said, I trust Keith. Realistically, we may go slightly over that 10,000 mark, but not by much. For the Taste of Vaudeville, we've had this discussion by email, Dave, that, the Taste of Vaudeville show is meant to be not a hardcore juggling show. It's meant to be a show with juggling in it, but also with other manipulation arts in it, some variety. The one year we had in Sparks when we did it, we had the woman who did the foot juggling. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Vanessa Alvarez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was kind of awesome.
Had that. We had some other entertainers that juggled, but that necessarily wasn't the focus of their performance. That's why we want to do it on Tuesday, is to kind of bring a crowd in and then keep that local crowd coming back to the shows all week long. And what Keith's plan is for that right now is to actually use a lot of local performers, to use the BGSU club as part of that Tuesday night show to ask the Kane brothers to perform because, not David, but the other brother went to BGSU as well. So he's actually looking at local performers, local names that the local people would know, and then sprinkling in other performers into that. And that's going to help us keep our costs a little bit lower.
Okay. Any other discussion, questions, comments? Okay. In that case, I think we are ready to move on and vote. Is there anyone who does not approve the FEST budget as presented? Is there anyone who would like to abstain? Okay, the FEST budget is passed unanimously. Unanimously. And that's now spelled correctly even. Okay, thank you, Kim.
Thank you all.
Okay. The next one, when I was in Portland, I saw Martin Frost, and he had noted that we had never actually formally approved all our returning officers and that we were supposed to do that. So we now have a motion to do so. Would anyone like to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Kim. Anyone to second it?
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay. For discussion, we're open for discussion. I had thrown up a Google Doc that I think summed up what we really are talking about, who the people and positions are. There were a couple of things I was not completely positive on, so we should clarify those before we vote, I imagine. I was pretty sure that at the moment we don't have an archives director. Is that accurate? Or is that still Alan?
Archives director is Alan Howard.
Okay. I'll correct that. Thank you. I was pretty sure Stephen Ragatz had resigned the position of mentor liaison. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so I have that backwards. Currently unstaffed. We had a position for fundraising chair, and I was pretty sure that was unstaffed, but I was trying to remember if Lloyd had said he actually was willing to do that. Or were you just willing to think about it and talk to people and try to find one?
No, what I was willing to think about and want to talk to you about was the affiliates director, which
okay.
I hate to see that drop off the list entirely.
Oh, yes, it did. So I will put that on there, even if I have to put that it is currently unstaffed. But you're right, that should be on there.
Right. Now, Greg was doing that, and he wanted it redefined. He thought
right.
the board should
right.
grapple with it.
Right. Okay. Okay, so fundraising chair is unstaffed, and education coordinator, is Erin still doing that, or was she passing that off to someone?
I'm not entirely sure. I know that she, in the last conversation that I had with her, she was saying that it's just her right now, because Kevin is off the board, but I'm
right.
curious as to what her plans are for the future with that.
Right.
But my understanding was that was still her official position, but, you know, that's certainly not up to me to decide.
You know, I think it's a position, and I think the only question is whether it's her, and I suppose given that she submitted an education report to this meeting, albeit one saying there isn't anything to report, I think my understanding is probably correct that she still believes that's her. So, okay, so I have now updated that document to reflect what we would actually be approving. Fixing all the red lines so that they don't look weird. Okay. Is there anything else we need to discuss? Thank you for reminding me to get the affiliate director position on there, even if it's unstaffed. Okay. All right. Well, if no one else has any questions or comments, we can move on to vote on this one. Does anyone disapprove of the list of officers as written? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay. That passes unanimously as well. Thank you. right. Next motion was to approve the board's terms for the 2011 Festival video contract, and I've submitted a document with what that means from our point of view right now. Would anyone make the motion to discuss that?
I'll make the motion to discuss, sure.
Thank you, Tom. Would anyone like to second it?
I'll second it.
Okay.
Thank you, Lloyd. Okay. So that opens up discussion. Mostly, Kim had pointed me at last year's contract. I used that as a starting point. There were a few things that I had to tweak slightly. Mostly, it was fine, but there were time frames listed in the contract for when Taylor would have to deliver on things to be paid, and there were money numbers. And I concluded there wasn't any point with submitting a contract to her with times she was going to think was unrealistic, because then she would just bounce it back to us and say, no, I can't do that. So I had the exchange with her that is in this document laying out the time frames she thought were realistic and she could agree to. It mostly plays out to say that from the time we are able to get her the footage, she doesn't think it'll take more than 3 months to have final drafts of all three videos. The money worked out to $1,000 if she had to dub music, which is the number Matt had originally discussed with her, and $900 if it turns out she doesn't have to dub music. And she thought that sounded fine. So those are the terms that were kind of at issue in the contract, and I wanted to make sure we all agreed with them before I actually tried to move forward with her.
I think that sounds good. Does that... Like, are we still planning on doing any kind of, like, DVD mastering? Would she be dealing with the architecture of a final DVD, or are we going to look towards releasing the stuff online this year?
Yeah, so I think that's a good question, but I also think it's outside the scope of the contract as it stands. I think that mostly just gets as far as us having the edited final video, and then we have to figure out what to do with it.
Okay. My understanding of Ivan's contract was that it included DVD architecture as well.
Yeah, let me see where I have that. And if I was smart enough to upload it, which I bet I wasn't, because that would have been really handy right now. Delay. I'm trying to look and see if I uploaded that contract. It looks like I did not. So let me try to find it now. I'm not quickly finding it. It's going to take me some time, and we probably don't want to sit around while I do so. I think it's reasonable if you want to postpone voting on this till we can clarify that detail, we can do so. I can't really get her footage until we agree on a contract, so it's just a question of – but we could also do it off-cycle, I think. We could probably approve – in between meetings, if need be. So, yeah, I think for practical purposes, I'm not going to be able to answer that question while we sit here, unless we want to sit here for 15 minutes while I dig around and look for it. So,
that's like it. I think that's an important thing to clarify.
Agree.
That would add a couple of hours onto her thing. I'd hate for there to be some kind of a disagreement in the future because of that omission.
Uh-huh. Right. So I think I hear you saying you'd be understandably uncomfortable voting on it until we clear up that detail. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would be more in favor of tabling it just for the sake of, prudence.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know what? I just feel dumb because I should be able to answer this. Let me take one more moment and see if I can find it. Because I'd hate to delay us unnecessarily over this one thing. I found the contract that I wrote up for her, but it sounds like what we really want to look at is both. We want that, and we also want to see Ivan's to see.
Okay, well, what's that one stipulation you're looking for? I missed that in the contract.
Oh, about whether or not it includes the creation of DVDs, like a DVD master, or if it's just the raw footage edited.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. So let me pull up the contract, and I can tell you whether it says that now, and then depending on what we find, we can figure out if I need to track down Ivan's to see if it was in there. All right. Taylor Glenn responsibilities: create master video segments consisting of highlights of the festival, including but not limited to the juggling floor, workshops, and stage shows, as well as all acts appearing in the individuals, teams, and juniors championships. Space permitting, which is an interesting clause because it sort of suggests that we're targeting a fixed size, which would be like a DVD. Create a numbers championship video with minimal post-production. Create a cascade of stars video with minimal post-production work. Complete post-production work under the advice and consent of the IJA as to content and outline. Upload completed masters of championships highlights videos to predetermined website. Doesn't say anything about what format the masters are in. Meet all deadlines as outlined in the project deadlines. Accomplish these projects at her own expense, such that all expenses other than those outlined in our responsibilities are hers to cover. Okay, so the closest thing is it says that she has to upload completed masters, but it doesn't say in what format. Do you want more clarity than that?
That sounds good to me.
Okay. All right, is there anything else we need to discuss before we vote then?
I had one question on that.
Sure thing.
In the contract, I noticed you mentioned a lot of the major events, like the Cascade of Stars and the numbers and individuals, but is there any reason to mention in writing the smaller events, such as the Renegade juggling and X-juggling and stuff like that in gym footage?
It is some of that is mentioned. I'll read you the first responsibility instead of going blah 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 really fast. I'll read it to you specifically so you can see if you're more comfortable with it. It says, and I quote, create master video segments, championships, shows, highlights, consisting of highlights of the festival, including but not limited to the juggling floor, workshops and stage shows, as well as all acts appearing in the individuals, teams and juniors championships, space permitting. So it specifically mentions the juggling floor. It specifically says that this is not limited to these things, but there are other things that it definitely does not spell out, like X juggling, for example.
Okay. I just want to make sure there's no possibility that could be a loophole in the contract, you know?
Yeah, I think... There's also, there are also terms within the contract that would, she gets to give us the video and we get to give her feedback and then she has to do a final version. So I imagine if she gave us something that ignored significant events, we would say that doesn't make sense and bounce it back to her. So speaking for myself, I'm not concerned about that.
Okay, that's fine. Just wanted clarity.
Okay. Anything else before we move on to vote? Okay. Is there anyone else that disapproves of these terms as written? Okay. Is there anyone who would like to abstain? Okay. That passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to put another one in here, and we'll worst case, we'll end up moving to table it. Mike had asked us to vote to approve Purdue as the 2014 festival site. 2014 festival location. So again, we'll have our move, our second, and then discussion, and then from there.
Yeah, I'll move to discuss. This is Tom.
Thank you. Will anyone second that?
I'll second to discuss.
Thank you, Kim. Okay, so we move into discussion.
Let me ask.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. I just wonder what it means to approve it. Are we sort of approving it provisionally, or does something get signed that locks us into it? It seems to me that when we approve the budget for next year's festival, we're approving it this month. It'll change. We'll approve it again. That's fine. But are we approving it forever, or are we approving it for a month or so?
I think that's a fair question, and Kim has more experience with this than I do, but my take would be that we should change this motion's wording more specifically to say that we approve it as our choice for the festival and to move forward with contract terms. Because I don't think we can really approve it until we actually see a contract.
We can't.
Right, but I think what we would be voting on is telling Mike, you can stop looking, try to nail down a contract with Purdue. Does that sound right?
So we're approving it, he moves forward.
That does sound right. However, I don't know how Purdue works, how differently they work from BGSU, because as we found out this year, what we thought when we voted last year to accept BGSU as a contract isn't really a contract. Troy has to get the specifics to me yet. We have all the specific prices. We had that when we voted on it and whatnot. But when I spoke with the head of their theater, he wanted to know move-in times, and he already has our prop move-in times. He has our tech rehearsal times, and he is drawing up a theater contract specifically based on the numbers I just gave him. So I think we need to know how Purdue works. Will they give us an actual contract, or is it just going to be a formal agreement like we had with BGSU?
Right. So Mike emailed me saying he had to drop off the call. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe the best we can do is, if we decide we're comfortable with it, we can vote to say, we approve this as a good choice. You can stop looking and try to move forward to solidify terms. But we can't vote on anything more than that anyway. You know, like you said, we don't even know if they are going to produce a contract, never mind us approving one. So,
well, I'd like to amend the motion then.
Definitely.
To read motion to allow Mike Sullivan to move forward in obtaining a possible contract from Purdue for 2014.
Okay. I wordsmithed a little bit. Let me read you back what I typed.
Yep,
motion to allow Mike Sullivan to move forward in obtaining a possible contract with Purdue as our primary choice for a 2014 festival site.
Yes, and I'd also like to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
Final approval pending review of that contract. I think we need to be specific saying,
yes.
You know, just because we have a contract doesn't mean we're going to sign it.
Yeah.
Say that again, Kim, final approval what?
Final approval will require
specific contractual terms.
That works. Specific contractual terms.
Okay. That kind of captures the spirit of what I'm comfortable with.
Right.
I actually really like the sound of what he's got.
Can we change will require to final approval pending?
Will depend on. Final approval will depend on.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
There we go.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to read this back to you a little bit. We have a motion to allow Mike Sullivan to move forward with possible contract for the 2014 IJA Festival at Purdue University. Final approval will depend on specific contractual terms.
That'll
work.
I think, yeah. That isn't exactly what I typed, but I think it captures the same
thing. It's the same thing.
Probably fine. So for Dave discussing as a board member instead of the chair trying to steer things, I'd say that's about what I'm comfortable with. I like the sound of what he's got, and assuming that things break out more or less as he's described, I think it would be a good opportunity. So I'm happy to tell him to try to make it official, but obviously we don't have enough to make it official. So. All right. Is there any other discussion, or do we move on to vote? Okay. Is there anyone who does not approve of the amended motion? Is there anyone who would like to abstain? Okay. That passes unanimously, and I'll drop Mike an email so that he knows and understands how that went. Okay. That brings us to Varia. There were two things I had put in Varia, but I don't, especially because we've run over tonight, I don't really feel like we need to discuss these now. I will just start threads on them on the board and encourage us to discuss them there. Neither of them is particularly timely. Is there anything else anyone else would like to discuss in Varia?
I had something I wanted to go over. This is Nathan.
Sure.
This is regarding IJA user accounts and social media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, for example, the e-zine, we just recently brought back the interact column, and I was talking to Scott Setzler, and he told me to really try to push the promotion of this contest via social media.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't sure, like, if on, like, rec.juggling, if there was an official IJA account to be used for that sort of thing, or if I should use my own account, and also if I needed to get approval for posting IJA business on social media accounts?
There's definitely an official account.
Yeah, Aaron just sent out the login information for...
Yeah, I got the one for Juggle Hub.
Yeah, the Juggle Hub is rec.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have a Juggling Edge account right now. I'm not entirely sure what the... I feel like the readership, like there's a lot of cross-readership. If you wanted to set up a Juggling Edge account using the same login information, that would be pretty cool. So far as the like Facebook and stuff, our Facebook account, the IJA Facebook page, that pushes directly to our Twitter account, which has something like 700 followers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I don't think I have set you up as an admin for the Facebook page. I can do that tonight.
Okay, either that, or I can just forward you, or you can just use your own discretion. But
yeah, either way, just if you've read a lot of our status updates, so you kind of know the style that we're going for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll put you up for that tonight, so you can do it yourself.
Great, thanks.
Right. My thing would be that most of those communications seem to come from either Aaron or Tom. I have occasionally mm-hmm. posted something, and the kind of thought process I use is that I know that Tom and Aaron have been doing kind of more concerted, organized marketing efforts, and so if I think that whatever I have to say may, unlikely, but, you know, if I was concerned that it might conflict or contradict what they were doing, or it might impact timing of what they're trying to do, then I'll make sure I'm in close communication with them and let them say it. But if I'm just like, you know, happy juggling, whatever, if it's something that I'm not worried it's going to undermine their greater efforts, then you're a board member. Go ahead and say it.
Okay, so I don't need board approval for posting pertinent information?
Right, it's more just
that's right.
We should be talking to each other so that we know we're on the same page, and that if Tom and Aaron are working on kind of a broader marketing message, that anything we do fits into that.
So I should just go ahead and post on rec.juggling or whatever? I don't need to submit like a draft or anything under the user account?
I don't think you need to, and if you're nervous, you certainly can.
Okay, fair enough.
Right? So. Does that match your thinking, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely. That's,
as marketing
that's
dude?
Pretty much the way that Aaron and I have been operating. We're trying not to have posts within, like, 4 hours of each other.
Sure.
And we try not to have more than, like, two a day. We're going for one impression every single day.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool. Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you.
Anything else we want to discuss under Varia?
Yeah, I have something super, super briefly. I'm going to be traveling more than usual.
Okay.
For the next 2 months, well, I guess for the next 3 weeks I'm in St. Louis, but after that, I just signed a contract with Cirque Dreams, and I'm doing a U.S., like a Korean tour, USO tour. So I might not be very easy to get a hold of come November. So if anybody needs to talk to me or if I need to talk to anyone, just know that it's going to be, I don't know, thin. So, yeah, but I'll do my best to make sure that I'm still in contact with people about stuff I'm working on. Especially as video tutorial contests start to come upon us.
Thank you for the heads up.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. So, on that note, that brings us to scheduling the next meeting. If we default to assuming the third Wednesday of the month, that would be November 21st. Thoughts? Anybody have any conflicts with that?
Yeah, November 21st is like the night before Thanksgiving.
That's true.
And I don't know. I won't be able to attend. I'll be with in another part of the country with family.
Okay.
I'll be busy cooking.
Okay. So it sounds like on the whole, we may make our life easier if we, again, go with the second. Suppose we say November 14th.
Yeah, that works great.
That works better for me as well. Anyone have a problem with that date? Okay. November 14th at 5:30 Pacific time, it is. So that brings us to the wonderful time of the evening when we adjourn. Does anyone make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Is there any discussion before we do so? Okay. Then now we must vote. Does anyone object to adjourning the meeting? Would anyone like to abstain on this controversial decision? Okay. In that case, it is unanimous again. The meeting is adjourned at exactly 7 o'clock Pacific time. So sorry that one ran a little bit longer, but I appreciate all your participation and enjoy the rest of your night. Talk to you guys soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.